Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, welcome back to a new episode of Lather Talk. This is take two that you guys aren't seeing, but I'm your host John, aka Lather Hog, and my co-host Gerard unfortunately isn't able to make today's episode. He is busy with his son, who's a little under the weather today. But joining me for today's show, we have Jake and Ashley from Yates Precision Razors. Guys, we are so happy to have you on. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And I mentioned take two is because, and this is all my bad, where I did not hit record, even though we started the conversation. So a little transparency there, just to leave this in there. Jake's had some rehearsal over some of the answers on the first question or two, and I think it'll just make that much better of an episode. So Jake and Ashley, thank you so much for rolling with some technical errors that might happen here. Let's start from the beginning. So for someone who has never heard of Yates Precision, can you tell us a little bit about how you guys got started and what you're all about?
Sure. So Yates Precision, we officially formed in 2017, and we started as just a small contract manufacturing shop. I was doing it on nights and weekends, still working a full-time job. We had one CNC machine, so we were making all kinds of different parts for all kinds of different companies, really just as a hobby. And then in 2019, my dad brought over what was a safety razor, which I didn't know at the time. And he asked, "Hey, you think you can make one of these?" I was like, "Yeah, what is it?" So he explained it to me. I did some research, and over the next few months, I started kind of reverse engineering it and then just adding our own twist and improving it a bit. But as I did that, I was posting about it on social media, and people started, you know, following along, getting interested in the story. And before long, rather than making just a couple for myself, friends, family, we opened a pre-order, and I think we ended up selling about 100 on that first pre-order. And then, you know, after that, the safety razors kind of just took off. And now we make razors for at least five other companies, I think six maybe now, including, you know, a couple we can't talk about, but, you know, Wet Shaving Club, we make two of their razors, the America and the Winning Razor, and then Caleb Ellsworth, he's coming out with a new razor that we'll be doing the production on those as well. So it's been an interesting journey, but it's been a fun journey, especially from someone who didn't know what a safety razor was even 4 years ago. And now it's kind of the world we
this
live and breathe.
Life. Yeah.
And just before you were mentioning, so with social media and in particular Instagram was a good way to get feedback. And you're sharing a little bit about initially the threading, the style of thread in the razors. Like, can you just tell that story again?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned feedback. You know, we were posting a lot about it on social media. And then the first 100 razors we made had 1024 threads. So that's the standard. It's a number 10, 24 threads per inch. And, you know, as an engineer, that made sense to me because why would I need anything else? Well, apparently to the wet shaving world, that did not make any sense because everything else was either M5 for the metric version or 1032, which is a number 10 with 32 threads per inch. So people, you know, you experts in the shaving world, and I am no expert in this world. Like I said, I'm a manufacturer and an engineer, and I kind of just fell into this wet shaving world by accident. So some experts got a hold of them and were like, "Well, why are you using 1024 threads? I can't use other handles on them. I can't swap your handle onto other heads."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Well, first of all, I didn't know people did that.
Sorry.
So let me revisit that." So after, like I said, I think it was the first 100 razors have 1024 threads, and now everything that we do is 1032. So, and we kind of, I mean, I try to work in standard units as much as I can, so inches and but so we don't do the M5 version yet, but we probably will release some M5 versions, but they are fairly interchangeable, the M5 and the 1032. So
okay, so listeners, take note, if you do have one of the first 100 razors from Yates, you have a potential collector's item right there. So hold
yes,
on to those.
Also take note, don't buy any of our handles going forward and think that they're going to work on your razor. So yeah,
you
so,
have the original.
So get in touch with us and we'll get you a new
Let
top
us
cap.
Know. We'll
which
swap it out.
We actually did do that. So,
yeah.
So
oh, really?
Yeah. The first, yeah. So anyone that bought one of those original razors, I had kept track kind of those first 100 as far as mm-hmm. who purchased what. So I knew if they placed another order for another handle, I just went ahead and sent them a new top cap
Here's
as well
top,
to go
yeah.
with it. So
oh,
that way
wow.
going forward, everything's compatible. Yeah. So that was the easier solution rather yeah. than, you know, have people get the handle and be like, well, why doesn't it fit? Well,
right.
so we just went ahead and if there's anybody out there that doesn't have one of our new top caps, reach out, we'll get you on. So
mm-hmm. nice. You also had mentioned, we were just talking before, where you just moved to full time back in January, which actually I wasn't aware of. Was that a dramatic shift, making that change? Like, how's that transition been now that's been a few months?
I feel like leading up to it, you knew you wanted to. It got to the point where he was out here till 1 or 2 in the morning. You'd come home from work, eat dinner, come out of the shop. And so you were like, I have to do one or the other. I have to either scale down or I have to quit my job and make this full time. And yeah. so it was a little scary to make the jump, I think, especially since we have a family. It's not just like the two of us where it's like, whatever, you know, we can eat ramen noodles and we'll be good. But we were like, what do we do? So, I mean, we took the leap and it's been really good so far. Like, it's been great.
Yeah. Like she said, I was really burning it at both ends.
Yeah.
And I was mentally and physically pretty
exhausted.
So,
yeah.
And then I'm a glutton for punishment too. So on top of everything else I do, I coach high school soccer. I still play soccer. I probably shouldn't because I have some other things to focus on, but I like to keep my hobbies and like to pretend that I'm still young too.
Yeah.
So, it was really the time, whether, like she said, I either dial it back and turn it back into more of a side gig hobby or take the full-time leap. And so far, you know, we're still been eating and drinking. So, you know, 4 months in, we're still here. So we'll see. But no, it's been good. Another thing that helped take that jump too is our partnership with Wet Shaving Club has been really good. They've, you know, they commit to more long-term POs that kind of give us some guaranteed revenue that we at least know we can pay the bills. And then that kind of lets me get out here. So that's been a really good relationship too.
That's great. That's great to hear. And I'm glad the transition has gone, you know, relatively smoothly. And I think that kind of leads me to my next question, where you guys really are a husband and wife team. Could you just share a little bit more with the listeners, kind of what the day-to-day looks like, you know, division of tasks, or even just like, you know, work-life balance? I know there's a lot of questions like all packed into one, but however much you'd like to share about that dynamic.
Yeah.
You start.
Yeah, I feel like we do have a really good system so far, and that we do share about an even amount. He's obviously more shop driven, focused on the shop, and I kind of handle the kids' duties a little bit more. I take them to school, pick them up from school, you know, house tasks, and then I just try to come out here. And I just tell him, you know, like, what do you need me to do? And I do more of, I'll keep the machines running for him. I'll do blasting and finishings.
And like she said, it was a learning curve for sure to begin. And we have good days and some other days that aren't quite as good. Cause,
like everyone.
I mean, we literally now spend pretty much every minute of every day together. And so it's, you know,
sometimes you're just like, go away.
Sometimes we need some space. But no, she's out here on Monday, Wednesday, Friday when the kids are at preschool. And she, you know, helps do the tasks that I really don't need to be doing, like just loading machines that are already set up and running or sandblasting. That lets me focus on some of the higher level things like programming and setting up machines and doing some design work. So, and it's still a little much for me. So we have a college intern that works, he's an engineering intern. He's worked for us in the past. He's coming back this summer. And then our goal is to to hire him full time to help me with more of the technical stuff. So
that's great. Yeah, you guys touch upon it a little bit though, just like, yeah, you're working together and obviously, you know, in the family time, we're all together. So like, I don't know, it's not any surprise. We're like, okay, I have this like safe corner this room where
sometimes I just need to go away.
Ashley has her chickens.
I have all my animals and I'm like, okay, going up to the chicken coop to sit for a minute in silence.
Is it really that silent though in the chicken coop?
Yeah, with the roosters, yeah.
Right. It's like well, it's good. Jake, you mentioned so with soccer and coaching soccer, right, as hobbies. I'd love to hear more about just kind of hobbies that both of you have. I mean, with running your own business, it's hard to find that time. Yeah. But yeah, anything you guys like to do in whatever spare time you might have.
I mean, so you really like soccer. I really like running, but I feel like we both really just enjoy being outside. We are very, I guess, outdoorsy people, and we live on a lot of land, so it's easy for us to, especially now that the days are getting nicer, to take the kids for a walk down to our valley. We have a little stream. Now we have the puppy to take for walks, go to the park. So we do try to stay active and outdoorsy, for sure.
Yeah, and like she said, I've played soccer my entire life, played through college, so that's still pretty important in my life, and, you know, our boys are starting to play soccer and baseball. So that keeps us busy. But I was, prior to starting this side gig and working full time and having kids, I was really into like fly fishing and hiking and things like that. So I think we're looking forward to getting back into that now that the boys are a little bit older, they can enjoy it with us. We have a little bit more time on our hands. Yeah. So we're looking forward to getting some more hobbies back.
Yeah.
So.
Of course. That's true. That's true. When the kids are young and then you have two of them, a lot of things, go on. You know, I know for me, it took a long time where I used to love music, playing music, listening to music. But the last time I listened to like just songs I wanted to listen to, it was at least 2.5 years where I'm just like, that's right. I used to listen to like rock music or other
genres. Baby Shark and Kids Bop.
Now like our kids, like our oldest is like, turn on Kids Bop, and we're like,
oh yes, I know well, Kids Bop, yep.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Here we go, and the car is like, turn it off. And we're like, we don't want to turn it off. Oh, yeah.
Not getting enough drama? Talking smack? Or hooligan hijinks from your regular forums, social media, or Reddit? Well, the Lather Talk Discord is not for you. Sorry to disappoint. But if you're looking for a cool place to hang out with fellow traditional shaving degenerates, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware, software, and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
Thank you so much for sharing a bit about kind of yourselves and your company. I want to transition us now into some listener questions. So let's take a look here at my sheet. And this first one is from Paul from Trotter Handcrafts. He's a brush maker. He asks, I'd be curious to know if they still plan to do titanium razors at some point. Did I start with a tough? Yes. Did I start with a tough one?
No, it's one that I absolutely 100% want
to do. To do it, so
but I am so much of a kind of perfectionist that I've decided to design a completely new razor for the titanium. Originally, we were just going to do our same razor and offer it in titanium with some customization and anodization. But I've decided to, we're still going to offer our razor in titanium, but we're also going to design, or I'm working on designing a new razor that will be strictly in titanium. So that's the delay. And then like, it's like haunting me because I have you know, we put our wait list up and we have, you know, many hundreds of people signed up, and I get questions like, hey, still doing Titanium?
We're sorry.
It's one of those things where, you know, especially like I thought I was going to get out here full time and I'm going to have so much more time on my hands. And then like, I don't know, I snap my fingers and the day's over.
You blink and like, it's five and you're like, holy cow.
Yeah. So yes, we are still doing Titanium razors. The plan with that is we're going to probably first offer, we're actually going to be, we're working on a custom razor program right now. So essentially it's going to take our existing razor, and customers will be able to select their material. So they'll be able to choose from titanium, brass, or stainless. They'll be able to choose their finish. They'll be able to choose on the top cap whether they want a logo or no logo, and maybe even some custom laser engraving on the top cap if they want that. They'll be able to choose which base plate they want, whether it's our M, H, EH. They'll be able to choose whether they want any of those base plates to be closed comb, open comb, or dual comb. So it's going to be a complete customization, which I'm looking forward to. There'll be a bit of a learning curve on my end. But what we're going to do is we're going to offer that program, and it's going to be a 2 to 4 week lead time. So when you order it, you customize it, the order will come in and it'll all be made to order. We're probably going to do that first while I continue to work on the titanium razor design. But that'll give people a little bit more flexibility, because right now we only offer our razor standard with the M plate. And so you got to order the razor with the M plate. And then if you want the H plate, you got to order the H plate. And some people may not even use the M plate, which I've never liked, you know, forcing our customers to order more than what they actually want. So this, I want to give a little bit more control to the customer. It's going to come with a little bit longer lead time. It's not going to ship next day because they are going to be made to order. And we're also going to offer some different handle lengths, because our standard 4-inch handle, I've learned that some people absolutely love it, or some people take it off and swap out one of their favorite other handles
like
on
shorter,
it.
Shorter, yeah.
So we're going to offer some different lengths. We have a more capable machine now that can make some pretty intricate handles. So we have lots of plans. I always have lots of plans, and now I've just got to follow through on all of them. But so to make a short story long, I guess, the titanium razors are coming, but we're probably going to introduce a completely custom razor program prior to that.
Well, that sounds like a great option. And it should definitely hold over the titanium fans for a little bit.
Right, exactly. So that's what we were hoping. And I felt bad because, you know, I kept pushing it back.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm completely redesigning it. And I don't want to rush that either. I'm not someone who just wants to get something to market just to get it to market. I want to make sure I'll make some. I'll get them into beta testers' hands for a while, do some pass arounds, make sure everything's right, and then we'll go from there. But the custom program should appease people, at least for now, I hope.
Sounds great, or sounds like a great option, rather. Okay, so now next question we have from Raza. He asked, tell us something about Yates Razors that is unique compared to other razor companies out there. Also, what is something they want customers to know about them that could enable them to purchase a Yates razor?
That's a good question. So I think one thing that makes us unique is, and not entirely unique, there's a couple other companies out there that I can think of, but what makes us pretty unique is from design to manufacture to shipping out the door, everything happens here where we are. And that's kind of a blessing and a curse as well, because while, you know, some other guys, and absolutely not knocking anyone who does the design work and then outsources the manufacturing to CNC shops, right? I mean, that's a great way to do business, and it's a way more scalable way and a quicker way to grow, because I have to design the razors, and then I also have to go program the machines, and then I also have to go run them. So it's, like I said, it's a blessing and a curse, but I think that's one thing that makes us unique is we have complete control of the process, and that gives us a little bit more flexibility. So I can change a design and go right to the machine and start making it and start prototyping it. Whereas, you know, if a company's designing them, most manufacturers see someone come in with a prototype and they kind of like shy away from it, because prototyping is not a great way to make money in the manufacturing world. It requires a lot of programming, a lot of upfront work, for only one or two parts. It's most manufacturing companies want to see high volume orders, whereas we're very flexible. We can We can run 5 of one thing, or we can run 500 of one thing, and we can turn it around pretty quickly.
Solid answer. Yeah, that question was a little different. So that's like, oh, it's very, very
no, that's a good it's one. Good. Yeah, it's a good one.
It is, and I do think that's kind of what sets us apart. You know, yeah. There are some other guys, and the two that I can think of right now are Carve and Charcoal. Okay. You know, they do their own manufacturing in-house, and they make great razors. So mm-hmm. I think they're kind of in the same genre that we are, but that also does slow you down a little bit, right? So it's hard to release product after product after product when you're also the one who's manufacturing these. Whereas if you're just designing them, you design one, send it off, and while it's being manufactured by somebody else, you're designing right. the next product. Mm-hmm. So it's good though, but working on growing and adding some employees that'll help get me back to more of the designing and less of the manufacturing. So should free up some time.
Yeah.
This is more connected to kind of what you just shared rather than another listener question, but are there any particular like inspirations, I guess, or sources of inspiration for any element of design?
As far as design goes, I know, so I really like Brian at Charcoal. I really love his handles. I actually have one of his brass handles on one of my heads, and it's probably the razor I use the most often. So I really like his handle designs. His machining's real good. So I like his products a lot. But as far as inspiration, so, you know, our razor and then the America razor have what we call the stonewash finish, right? Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen that anywhere in the razor industry. And I kind of brought that over from the knife industry, actually. So the finish that's on our standard razor is very popular in the knife and firearm industry, but I hadn't seen it on any safety razor. So I was like, all right, well, why not? And it kind of sets us apart, I think.
Yeah.
Typically people see that finish and, you know, some people love it, some people hate it. It's not for everybody, but it kind of stands apart from the other, you know, the polished finish that you get on most other razors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely vouch for that. It's like, that's what I think of. When I think of a Yates razor, kind of was like a calling card for you guys, this particular look. It's a particular feel too, you know. So it's like, yeah, that's totally agree with that.
it's different, like I said, and some people love it. Some people were skeptical about it at first, like, is it going to affect blade, like glide or anything like that?
Yeah.
And maybe it does, but I don't notice it. And I'm sure some people out there who, you know, have 50 razors and are experts in this can notice a difference. And I'm sure there is a difference. I mean, we're literally blasting the razor and then tumbling it. So it's going to be have a little bit higher coefficient of friction, but I don't think once you lather up with soap and start shaving, I don't think you can really, really notice it.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the things, just even in past episodes and like discussions, like some people feel it. So even like if you do some sort of coating on it, like to get like different colors or other things, some people are like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. that, you know, it really affects the glide. Other ones like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It's totally fine for me.
Yeah.
It's so like, I can only imagine on the razor maker side, you guys are getting like 50-50 feedback. I'm like, which do we do something about it or leave it alone?
Right. Or I mean, it could even be as much as a placebo effect, right? You see that finish is on there. You see that it looks rougher. So you're like, okay, well, then all of a sudden it starts feeling rougher. Oh, so, but I'm sure that it doesn't glide as well as a polished razor. But is it so much that it affects the shave? I'm not sure.
And clearly, if you get a sample, you know, sample size of people, they don't give you all the same answers. So,
right, exactly, and that's why we came out with the bead blasted finish and the as machine finish, because so those are both lower friction finishes.
Yeah, that's the solution. Yep. Just give people different options. So the next question,
you're not going to please everybody,
right? No, totally true. It's the same thing. Even like, oh, you want to make something a particular color, right? It's going to be.
Yeah.
You get all sorts of reactions from people.
That was like our rainbow PVD. Like some people were like, this is great. And some people were like, this is awful. Yeah. We're like, well.
Yeah. The rainbow razor. Yeah, the rainbow. Released, and which, like, well, I mean, that was a pretty successful razor for us.
Yeah,
and it was, again, something very different that we hadn't seen out there before. And I mean.
Love it or hate it.
Yeah, love it or hate it. That's
No, the next question. Next question is actually from Johnny Cash. This is a wet shaving YouTuber, not the not the deceased singer, but he asked about a mild plate for the Yates razor. Does one exist, or where would you point him to look for a mild option?
Yes,
that would be our M.
Yeah, so our mildest option right now is our M plate, and M stands for mid level. It's not. I wouldn't classify it as mild per se. Mm-hmm. And we do have plans of coming out with a little bit milder razor, but we released the M plate and then immediately people started asking for more aggressive plates. So we went that direction first.
Yeah.
Now the America razor for Wet Shaving Club and the winning razor, those are both milder than our M plate. So if you're looking for something that we make, and we designed, but milder than our M plate, I would go with the America razor from Wet Shaving Club for now. But eventually we are going to come out with a milder plate for our razor as well.
Okay. I feel like I saw you guys post that somewhere in response to that question in the past. Touching upon kind of you're saying there's certain terminology that you're learning back in the earlier days, but like as far as like this whole mild, medium, like efficiency, like how do you for you guys are the ones making the razors, how are you how are you defining, at least in terms of like when you go out to design or even amongst your line of razors, what do you define, like what makes it a mild, what makes a medium, and etc.?
Yeah, so honestly, when I first learned about all this terminology, blade gap and exposure, the first place I went was to Rockwell's website, because they have a full list of all their, their 6S and 6C, this plate is this. So I started learning there. But then, I mean, as far as classifying it, I mainly classify it on blade gap and exposure. And our M plate has neutral exposure, so it's not positive, not negative. It's kind of right in line with the shave plane that the top cap and the base plate make.
Okay.
And then our H plate is just slightly more aggressive with a slightly higher blade gap and a little bit of positive exposure. And then our EH plate has an even bigger blade gap with even more positive exposure. So that's kind of how we rank it. And
we have it on our website.
Yeah, so
like all the specs.
Right. Yeah. So I had that question, and
so people, can look and see.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So if customers ask me a question 10 or more times, I know that's something that I need to put somewhere as general knowledge, because I can't, if I'm getting the same question over and over again, that's on us to get that information out there.
Right.
So,
right.
But that's how we rank them. I don't think there's any. I mean, you may classify a razor as aggressive that I classify as mild just based off of, my hair type and how aggressive I am at shaving my face. I think it's kind of, there's ballpark numbers, but I think at the end of the day, it's personal preference as well.
Okay. I was just curious because I know especially just amongst the non-manufacturers, the lay people, for a long time, people just only looked at blade gap. When in fact, right, you look at like you mentioned, Rockwell has all the information out there. But you compare it to another popular razor, the razor can have the same exact blade gap, but it's not going to feel the same. And one could be much more quote unquote aggressive, while the other one's deemed mild. So I kind of just wanted to hear it's a combination of a few variables, but.
Sure. And even razor weight has a lot to do with that as well. I mean, so it's like I said, there's a combination of four or five things that you put together and it kind of makes up the efficiency of the razor. And it's at the end of the day, it's trial and error. And then you kind of find a combination you like and stick with it. So.
Yeah, and honestly, like as someone who has this as a hobby, there's so many your mileage may vary kind of things. What razor blade you put in, right? What combination with the razor? Like my favorite combination with Yates razor might be totally different from someone else.
Sure,
but
that's another thing I learned too was all the different blades and how
feather
blade is way
like
more aggressive.
Like when we first started, I shaved with the feather blades and I cut myself so much and I was like, this is awful. And then I switched to a more mild blade and I'm like, oh, this is great.
So she started shaving with a feather. And
wow. That's what we had.
The feathers, yeah. You know,
oh, very aggressive. And oh, we're my. Like, oh, nope, not does not work for me.
But as soon as she switched to, I think, Persona Reds.
Yeah,
then,
yeah, that's what we tried first, yeah.
Everything else was the same, just switched to Blade, and then she was good
to go.
It was
a totally different shave, yeah. So...
Yeah, there's
a lot of factors.
Yeah, a lot that goes into it. And
yeah.
Again, it was a steep learning curve at first, but we're still learning.
that feather blade is definitely on like one extreme end of the spectrum. And it's one that it's funny. Like, you know, I've come across like articles and other people just like testing things where they will intentionally dull the blade because like the roughest shave with the feather is that first shave. So they'll intentionally like strop it on, people strop it on jeans or just whatever, just something to dull it a little bit. Before getting into their first shave. But for me, I mean, like, that's too much work. Let me just choose something that's like better fit
blade, yeah.
right away. Yeah, like from the first shave. Like, why? Oh. Yeah, it's like, it's unnecessary, but, you know, kudos to the folks who are doing some scientific research or quasi-scientific research trying to figure out how to use these things. So I think this will be the last of the listener questions, but this one's from Engineered Shave. He is really into, he's one of the folks on the Discord that are big fans of your razors. And while he has a lot of mini questions, in the end, he wants to know when the new version of the Yates razor will arrive.
So the new will be the titanium.
Yeah, so that would be
is that the one he's referring? Okay, so was there any talk of like your main end plate or anything like that getting a redesign?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
that's pretty much going to stay the same.
Yeah.
We might release. Well, like I said, we're going to release a milder plate. We're going to do the custom program that's going to give. I mean, I don't know how many different options you end up having, but it's going to be a lot. And then, I imagine what he might be referring to is the titanium razor, which. Okay. As we spoke about is
right.
That's I try to late at night is kind of like my design time. So it's a matter of me getting on the computer and doing some design work and prototyping. I would definitely say that the new titanium razor will happen this year. But like I said, the custom program is going to be before that. And then we also want to release some, I'm working on prototyping some brushes and some other things, some of the soft goods as well. Just to go along with our razors. It's something I've always wanted to do. I enjoy brushes. We now have a machine that's very capable for making brushes. We're kind of looking into that now as well.
What material are you looking into making the brushes out of, like metal or resin or other?
So right now we're looking at titanium for the brush handles.
Oh, okay. All right.
It'll be metal. And it depends on how the weight ends up, but I'm thinking titanium or aluminum, but most likely titanium.
Okay. Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, okay, I don't mess with wood or acrylic or any of that stuff. Leave that to the experts. That's messy.
Yeah, with all the shavings,
it's messy.
gotcha. Okay. I'm reading back the question because he starts basically just it sounded more like a wish list. So like I'll try to save you from that. But he's like something like tightening up tolerances, offering polished options, changing the lather drain holes to grooves, offer a serrated or open cone option on the base plate. I'm like, I don't know if you guys had talked about all those things or if these are just it sounded like more like his wish list.
So the holes. Yeah, so he might be talking about the winning razor has lather holes versus slots.
Yeah.
And the reason we did that is so we designed that razor to be extremely manufacturable, so we can keep the price point low. So I think that razor sells for maybe $45 or $50 on Wet Shaving Club. So you can drill holes much cheaper than you can put slots in something on a machine. So that's why that has holes. So what takes me maybe. It probably takes 10 seconds to drill all those holes. I think there's 36 holes in that base plate. Would take probably 6 minutes to put those slots in, 5 or 6 minutes. So that all equates to a more expensive base plate once you go to slots. So, and I know they don't clear as well as a slot does. But the goal for that razor was to offer a CNC machined made in the United States, safety razor at a low price point. So okay. Most likely those are going to stay holes.
Okay. So then I think, so my apologies on that one. Then I think he's asking if there's any plans specifically for then any improvements, changes to the winning razor, not the 921.
Sure. The other thing we might do is we might change the top cap on the winning razor a little bit. I've read on some forums and I've experienced myself. It almost, because it's just a straight angle and there's no curvature to it, it forms almost like a suction feeling to your face. And it doesn't affect the shave at all. It's just a different right. feel. And that's because there's nothing to break the surface tension. It's just a flat angle that kind of, you know, suctions to your face. So I might either curve the top cap a little bit to eliminate that, or maybe just put some small, essentially grooves in there to kind of break that surface tension. It's something we've been looking at and okay. may go to in the future.
Yeah, we definitely got quite a few questions about the winning razor, and I was like, I don't know, it might be like, you know, like a family secret, where it's like, how do they keep the price point so low? But I mean, obviously, what you just mentioned about drilling versus
whole razor was designed to be affordable. While it's still CNC machined and not cast or anything like that, mm-hmm. it was designed to be very manufacturable, which is another nice thing about doing design and manufacturing here is, you know, I've been in this long enough that I know, you know, how to make, how to design something so it's easily manufacturable. That one doesn't have nearly the bells and whistles that the America razor does or the 921 R razor.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. I think a lot of people were curious just because I've used both the winning and the America. I mean, both are fantastic razors. And I did the whole surface tension thing. I did experience that a little bit, like you said, but it didn't affect the shave. It's just like, just kind of know it might happen. Yep. Right, like during the process,
you feel it, and it's a different feeling than shaving with America. But I don't think it affects the shave. But it is, I mean, I don't know if it's an annoyance but it's different. So it's something we're looking at possibly at least reducing. Which it wouldn't be a big undertaking to do that.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for tackling those questions. And sure. I did want to go back and something I think Ashley mentioned, and this is not shaving related, but the addition of the puppy, and hopefully for the video version of this, Jake and Ashley, I'm gonna just ask to get a photo so I can put the the adorable puppy so that you know the people. But tell us a little bit about an addition that was long in the making? Was it an impulse kind of thing? Like, could you share a little bit about that?
I feel
that?
Like it was a little bit of both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. So we have wanted a dog. We both grew up with dogs. We've had dogs our entire lives. And we wanted to wait to add a puppy until the boys were a little bit older. And we've been looking, like, you know, what would be great family dogs, but also, you know, guard dogs if I was out running by myself or, you know, whatever. And we kind of were set on a German Shepherd. And then we found her up in Pittsburgh and I'm like, she's available. And I like, what? I was like, we're getting her. So
She told the kids that she was going to look at a puppy. And as soon as you tell a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old you're going to look at a puppy, it's over.
So the Landon's like, we're getting a dog.
Yeah, I knew the puppy was coming.
So I'm like, we're getting the dog.
But I've always wanted a shop dog too. So she's already spent a few days out here with me and she does really well. And it's just nice because, I mean, a lot of the days I'm out here by myself, or at least most of the time out here by myself. So it's nice having her under my feet, tripping me, and
she's like your little foot warmer.
Yeah. So no, it was like she said,
we knew it was coming. We wanted one, but we saw her and we're like, we're getting her.
Yeah, it all happened in a matter of like 3 days. We went from not having a dog to
having a dog.
All of a sudden having a dog. So.
But she's great. Yeah, she's a great dog.
Oh, and what's the dog's name?
It's Piper.
Piper. Oh, beautiful name.
Piper. Yeah.
Well, I did also just want to share, and the reason, the puppy edition stuck out to me is that you guys, I think, do such a great job giving us a peek kind of behind the shop, and even just a little bit like your interactions in the shop on the days that you're both in there together. And I just want to say, just, you know, as someone who's following you guys, I have known about you guys, I really appreciate like those looks. I think it really, you know what I mean, like it reveals a bit more about the people behind the things that we make. So I just want to make sure you guys knew that, and that I really enjoy that look behind, because I know, like, of all the things that you could be doing, all the things you know just work wise check off, and then, or just taking care of the, you know, the family matters and whatnot, to be able to squeeze that time in there, I think it goes a long way. So definitely want to encourage keep it up.
Something I realized, I don't know, not too long ago was, you know, prior to getting into this Razor world, all of my followers were machinists. So for me to post a video of a machine running wasn't real
interesting,
wasn't
to
anything
them.
To them, right? Because they were doing that in their like, shop. Then I realized, well, a lot of my followers now are, you know, safety razor enthusiasts that they have these razors, but they may not know how they're made. And so then it kind of clicked that, like, well,
should show them.
Let's show some behind the scenes. We're not doing anything proprietary here, and we're not about secrets or anything like that. We'd rather share the story, share the journey, share any insight.
Like, people ask us, you know, what laser do you have? What do you use for your website? We tell you, like, we'll tell you. So if you have any questions, I mean, hey, reach out to us. We don't keep any secrets.
I mean, if anyone wants to know how a certain process happens, or how is this made, how's that made, let us know, and we'll post it, show some videos, explain it a little bit. Because like I said, it hadn't dawned on me that, you know, I was so used to living and breathing machining in a machining world. And now I have all these new followers who may not even know what a CNC machine is, right? They've been shaving forever with a razor that's been made on it. But
they just might.
And one of my favorite shows growing up was How It's Made. So it's nice to be able to to share how things are made.
Yeah, I definitely fall in that category, like, you know, being someone in this hobby. But even in doing this podcast, kind of you get more insight in how things are made. And honestly, like, the just razors in general, exploring different razors wasn't really something that was on my radar until maybe like this past year or two. So again, part of that behind the scenes, you know, the people making the things, or even just like seeing the machines at work, it's been a great look. So it's so great, like, all that behind the scene kind of stuff. I think you guys knock out of the park. So I'm just glad you saw that, like, oh yeah, these guys might be interested in seeing
how the sausage is made. On me, and then people start commenting, like, oh wow, that's so cool. I'm like, oh well, I guess it is cool to people who don't like live and breathe it every day.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I know we're kind of coming up on the hour mark, so I don't want to keep you guys too long. But I guess as we close out, is there anything in the coming year that you guys we can kind of keep our eye out for, or even just like as you're going further into this full time? Are there other changes that you see that are going to be made in 2022 that are like quality of life improvements or just processes, you know, anything you'd like to share about kind of upcoming plans?
Yeah, so we just got our newest machine in. It's another CNC mill. And something that was very popular the first time we released them, and we haven't released since just due to time and machining constraints, was our razor stands, our little stainless modular razor stands that hold the base plates and everything. Well, that's going to be one of the first products to run on this new machine. So those should be coming available, which I'm glad to be able to offer those again. Because that's another thing I get questions about literally daily is, hey, when are you going to have your modular stands back in stock? I'm like,
at least you can say very soon.
They're coming. The custom razor program, I'm actually pretty excited about that. It's going to give a lot of flexibility to the customers, and I think that'll be nice. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to that. There'll be some there'll be some bugs to work out, I'm sure, at the beginning, but that's going to be a nice offering, I believe. Brushes in the next year for sure. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully by the end of the year, our new titanium razor. And then along the way, we're looking to maybe add some, at least an employee or two to help take some of the workload off of me. And then I think, you know, that's just on our side of the business. I think Wet Shaving Club has some plans for this year as well. So I don't want to share too much there, right. But there'll be more on that end too. So no, I think it should be a pretty good year for us. My first year full time. So it's like we mentioned before, it's stressful, but so far it's been good.
Exciting.
And we've kept the lights on for 4 months. So we're trying to keep doing that at least. So, but no, other than that, we're just going to keep chugging along here. And one thing that we try to do, because like I said, we're no expert in this field, is we try to listen to our customers and see what they want or what's lacking. So we, if you have any recommendations or suggestions, by all means, get a hold of us and we'll put it on our very long to-do list that seems to grow more than shrink every day. So, but no, that's probably it for 2022. Just try to keep plugging along and keep growing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you both, Jake and Ashley, for your time today. And I just want to wish you continued success and really looking forward to all the things coming down the pipeline this year. So thank you guys so much again for your time. Just a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you very much.
Thank
thanks for having
us.
And thanks for putting this podcast on. I know that's a thankless job too. So, I mean, you're not getting, yeah, I mean, it helps put the maker's names out there. And it helps us get customers as well. So we appreciate what you do as well.
Well, listeners, that's a wrap on another episode of Lather Talk. I had such a great time talking with both Jake and Ashley of Yates Precision. It's always great to hear about how a hobby or side project turns into a full-time gig. And also, whenever I get a chance to talk to fellow parents of young children, there's just a little something extra you wind up connecting on. So I hope you guys had as much fun learning more about Jake and Ashley as I did in today's episode. To find out more about Yates Precision Razors, you can check out their website or their Instagram account. All the links you'll find in the show notes. Also, a big thank you to our supporters over on Patreon. If you guys have the means and would like to support the show, please check out the Lather Talk Patreon, and you can get access to bonus content, behind-the-scenes footage, and other benefits for signing up. Some other ways to support the show: you can leave us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, or if you're watching us on YouTube, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you so much again for tuning in to today's episode. We hope to catch you next time. Take care. Bye.